The Quran says in Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 21, that of the cattle of the meat of the cattle you can have, you can eat. The Quran repeats the message in Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 5, that we have made the cattle. It gives you warmth, and in it there are several benefits of the meat you can eat. The Quran again repeats in Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 1, that O you who believe, follow the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can eat all four-footed animals except that which has been prohibited. The Quran gives us permission to have non-veg. Many of the non-Muslims, especially the Jains and the Hindus, they may argue that why do you all have non-veg? You are Muslims, you are merciless, you are ruthless. We should not harm the animals. Those fans they tell us that the meat is a very good source of nutrition. It has got proteins, it has got vitamin B1, niacin, also iron, and is very beneficial for the body. But still the non-Muslim may argue that why do you all have non-veg? Let's analyze logically whether should a human being have non-veg or not. If you analyze the set of teeth of the herbivorous animals, that's the cow, the goat, the sheep, they have got flat set of teeth. If you analyze the set of teeth of the carnivorous animals, the lion, the tiger, the leopard, they have got canine set of teeth, they have got pointed teeth. The human beings, they have got herbivorous set of teeth as well as carnivorous. They have got flat teeth as well as pointed teeth. They have an omnivorous set of teeth. So if God Almighty, if He wanted us to have only vegetables, He would have given us only flat teeth. Why did He also give us the canine set of teeth, that the pointed teeth? But naturally, He wanted us to have veg as well as non-veg. The herbivorous animal, however much hungry he is, it will never touch non-veg. Similarly, the carnivorous animal, however much hungry he is, it will never touch green vegetables. It will never touch. And the digestive system of the herbivorous animal can only digest vegetables. The digestive system of the carnivorous animal can only digest non-veg. But the digestive system of the human beings can digest both veg as well as non-veg. If God Almighty, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wanted us to have only vegetables, why did He give us a digestive system which can digest both non-veg as well as veg? The reason that the non-Muslims, especially the Hindus, they argue that why do you have non-veg? If you analyze the whole scriptures, even in the Vedas, it is mentioned that the sages and the sons, they had non-veg. If you read the Ayodhya Khandam, chapter number 24, and chapter 90, it says that Ram, when he was sent for Banvas, he told his mother that I will have to sacrifice my tasty meat dishes. So it indicates that but natural, Ram ate meat dishes. So when Ram, your Lord, can have meat, why can't you have meat? Many of the Hindus, they have not read the scripture. But surely, the outline of the story of Ramayana, that when Ram was sent for Banvas, his wife Sita told Ram to kill the buck. I am asking the question, why did Sita ask Ram to kill the buck? So some Hindus may say that she wanted a pet. So I ask the question, what will Sita do with a dead pet?
But naturally, the reason that Sita asked Ram to kill the buck, it was for the meat. So when Ram and Sita can have meat, why can't you have? Though the holy scriptures of the Hindus give permission to them to have non-veg, the reason they don't have is because many people, many of the Hindus, they were converting to the new philosophy of Ahimsa, that is non-violence. So to prevent people from converting to the new philosophy, they adopted the philosophy of Ahimsa, that is non-violence. And if you analyze the religion of Jain, when you ask them that, why don't you have non-veg? Why do you have only veg? So previously they forget the answer. Let's see. The animals, they are living creatures. The plants, they aren't living creatures. Therefore, killing an animal is a bigger sin as compared to killing the plant. Today we know that even the plants are living things. So the philosophy has changed. They say, okay, we do agree that the plants are living creatures, but the plants can't feel pain. The animals can feel pain. Therefore, killing an animal is a bigger crime as compared to killing the plant. After science has further advanced, we come to know that even the plants can feel pain. Though we cannot hear their cry, because the frequency of the human being is only from 20 cycles per second to 20,000 cycles per second. Anything below and above this, we can't hear. So just because we can't hear the cry of the plant, that does not mean that the plants don't feel pain. Today, the science has advanced and they say that the plants even feel happy and sad. So again, the logic has failed. There was a person who argued with me on the subject of non-veg and veg, and he said, okay, Brother Zakir, I agree with you that the plants have got life and the plants can feel pain. But the plants have got only two or three senses. The animals, they have got five senses. Therefore, killing an animal is a greater sin as compared to killing a plant. Though I don't agree with him, but for sake of argument, I said, okay, I agree with you that the plants have got less senses, only two or three senses. And the animals, they have got five senses. Now suppose you have a brother who is born deaf and blind. He has got two senses left. If suppose a criminal comes and murders your brother, will you go and tell the judge, oh my lord, give less punishment to the criminal because my brother had two senses left? In fact, you say that give a bigger punishment to the criminal because he has killed a person who was innocent. But Islamic logic does not work like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have created the animals and the plants for you. So whatever is good for you, you can have. Then there are some people who may further argue and say that you Muslims, you have non-veg. And when you have non-veg, whatever food you have, it has an effect on your behavior. Therefore, if you have non-veg, you behave like the animals. You are ferocious people. You are violent people. I do agree with them that the food you have has an effect on your behavior. That's the reason. Islam only gives permission for the Muslims to have only herbivorous animals. The cow, the sheep, the goat. So therefore, if you eat the cow, the sheep, the goat, you are as docile as the cow, the goat, the sheep. The carnivorous animal has been prohibited to us. So if we have the meat of the lion, the leopard, then I do agree, we'll be ferocious, we'll be violent. The Quran says in Surah Araf 7, verse 157, that the Prophet commands you to have what is good and prohibits you to have those things which are bad. The Prophet allows you to eat the food which is good for you. And he forbids you to eat those food which is bad for you. The Quran says in Surah Al-Hashr, chapter number 59, verse number 7, half of the things which the Prophet has allowed you to have, and abstain from those things which he has forbidden you to have. The Quran also says in Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 13 and 14, that if you obey Allah and His Messenger, you will enter paradise beneath which rivers will be flowing, and therein you will abide forever. If you disobey Allah and His Messenger, you will be thrown into the hellfire, and you shall abide in there forever. The Quran says in several places, Atullah, Fatul Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. The Quran says in Surah Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 32. In Surah Al Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 132. In Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 59. In Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 92. In Surah Anfal, chapter number 8, verse number 1. In Surah Anfal, chapter number 8, verse number 20. In Surah Anfal, chapter number 8, verse number 46. In Surah Muhammad, chapter number 47, verse number 33. In Surah Mujadila, chapter number 58, verse number 13. In Surah Takabul, chapter number 64, verse number 12. Several places the Quran says, Atullah wa tu Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. So as a Muslim, we have to obey whatever our Messenger has asked us to do. And according to a hadith, in several hadith, even in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, it is mentioned that our Prophet has forbidden us to eat the food. That is, those having canine teeth, those belonging to the cat family, that is the lion, the tiger, the cat, the dog, the wolf, the hyena, those rodents like the rat, the mice, rabbits having claws, even reptiles like the alligator, like the snake, etc. And birds of prey having claws and talons, like the vulture, owl, crow, etc. The Prophet has forbidden us to have all these things. So we as Muslims, we have to obey Allah and obey His Messenger. So when He has said we can't have these things but natural, the Muslims aren't supposed to have all these animals, the carnivorous animals. Whenever we slaughter any animal, we have to do it in the Islamic method. That is Zabiha. So once there was a Muslim who was having an argument with a Sikh. A Sikh is the community which is present in India. The approximately 2% who wear the turban always. They are proud to identify themselves. They wear the turban and they have a beard always. So he was having an argument with the Sikh. So the Sikh was saying that you Muslims, you are a merciless. You are get paid to the animal when you slaughter the animal. We Sikh, we kill the animal on the spot with one hatka. You are Muslim, you are merciless. So the Muslim brother, who has limited knowledge, he gave the answer. That see, you Sikhs, you are a coward people. You are attacked from behind. We Muslims, we are Malkabasha, we are brave, we attack from the front. So he won the discussion. Anyway, that's not the reason why we do Zabiha. That was just a battle of wits. When we slaughter the animal in the Islamic way, we have to do it with a very sharp object, a very sharp knife, and instantaneously, so that the animal feels very little pain. And we have to cut the throat and the windpipe, and the vessels of the neck, especially the jugular vein, and see to it that the spinal cord is not cut, and the animal bleeds to death. The reason for not damaging the spinal cord is that if it is damaged, there will be cardiac arrest, and the heart will stop on the spot, and blood will remain in the body. We do Zabiha because when we cut the arteries of the neck, we allow the blood to flow out. The heart is yet pumping, and most of the blood flows out of the body of the animal. Today, science tells us that blood is a good medium for germs and bacteria, and also contains toxins and various microorganisms. So if you consume this blood along with the meat of the animal, there are high chances that you will also acquire the diseases. Therefore, the Islamic way of slaughtering is much more hygienic as compared to the other stunning and the tetra method. It is compulsory that the Muslims, when we slaughter, we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran mentions in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter number 22, verse number 36, that when the sacrifices come, when they are lined up, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before slaughtering them. The Quran also repeats in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 118, that each of the meat on which Allah's name has been pronounced, which is compulsory that we can have only those meat on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name has been pronounced. And the Quran mentions Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 121. Do not have the meat on which Allah's name has not been pronounced. Now the reason why the Muslims take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before slaughtering is because it testifies that it is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take and give life. And it is with His permission that we are killing the animal. Without His permission, it's not possible. So we are testifying that it is with His permission and with His will that we are slaughtering the animal to eat it. The Quran also speaks about sea life. And the Quran mentions in Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 14, that Allah has made the sea a subject. And of the flesh you can have which is fresh and tender. Means the sea life, the Quran has given you permission to consume. The Quran says in Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 96, that lawful for you is the pursuit of God again. In it, it is benefit for you as well as for those who travel by sea. The Quran gives us permission to have the food of the sea. The Quran speaks about various other foods. For example, the fruits. The Quran speaks about grapes, about dates, about olives, about figs, about pomegranates, about everything. As you know, the date has a very high nutrition value. Fig is very good for digestive system. It helps in the bowel movement. The olive oil, it's a very good source of unsaturated polysaccharides, which is very essential for the human being. So the foods that are mentioned in the Quran have got high dietary value. Quran also says that you can have vegetables and the fruit, which are again rich in vitamin A and C. Quran mentions all these foods have been encouraged by the Holy Quran for the Muslims. Now coming to the food which has been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the beginning of my talk, I quoted a verse from the Quran, from Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 3, which says, حُرَّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. That forbidden for you for food are dead meat, blood, the flesh of swine, and any food on which any name besides Allah has been invoked. This is mentioned in the Quran. Besides Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 3, it is also mentioned Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 173, and Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 145, and Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 115. In no less than 4 places in the Quran, it is mentioned that forbidden for you for food are dead meat, blood, the flesh of swine, and any food on which any name besides Allah has been invoked. That if you have dead meat, there are chances you will acquire several diseases, such as anthrax bacillus, such as brucellosis, such as leptospirosis, such as spatulosis, several diseases. Therefore, Islam has prohibited you to have dead meat. The prohibition of the dead meat is also mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 17, verse number 15, and the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 14, verse number 21. It says that you are prohibited to have meat of the animal that dies of itself. It's mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 17, verse number 15, and the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 14, verse number 21. The Quran says that even blood is prohibited. The consumption of flowing blood is prohibited. The minimal quantity that remains in the animal, in the meat, after slaughtering it in the Islamic way, that little bit quantity is permissible. Whereas I mentioned, blood is a very good media for microorganisms, for bacteria, for germs as well as toxins. And if you have blood, there are chances that you will acquire several diseases. The consumption of blood has also been prohibited in the Bible. It's mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 17, verse number 14, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 9, verse number 4, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 12, verse number 16, in the book of Acts, chapter number 15, verse number 29, in the first book of Samuel, chapter number 14, verse number 33. In no less than 5 places, the Bible says the consumption of blood has been prohibited for you. The Quran also prohibits the flesh of swine. The flesh of swine. And today we know that there are at least 17 different diseases which you can acquire if you have pork. If you have pork, the pork contains roundworm, pinworm, tapeworm, several of the helminths. And the most dangerous is the Tinea folium. The tapeworm, the medical terminology is Tinea folium and Citronella citrullatus. These two are the most dangerous. The tapeworm is very long and it harbors in the intestine. And the ova of the Tinea folium, it enters into the bloodstream, and with the help of the bloodstream, it can enter almost all the organs of the body. The brain, it can cause brain damage and memory loss. If it enters the eye, it can cause blindness. If it enters the heart, it can cause heart attack. If it enters the lung, it can cause lung damage. It can damage almost all the organs of the body. And there's a misconception that if you cook the pork very well, all these ova they die. According to a research which was done in America, out of 24 people that were suffering from TB, 22 had cooked their food very well. That means, under the normal cooking temperature, which is obtained at home, it's not possible to destroy and kill these ova. Besides this, pork has muscle building, it has got fat building material, very little muscle building material. That's the reason those people who eat a lot of pork, they have got tired, they have got fat. And this gives rise to atherosclerosis as well as hypertension. That's why more than 50% of the Americans, they are suffering from hypertension. The pig is a very dirty animal. It's a filthy animal. It thrives on feces and muck. Wherever you find feces and muck, there you'll find the pig is there. And normally in the villages, I'm talking about India, that in the villages, they don't have the modern toilets like the ones we have. So when the people go early in the morning for call of nature, after they come back, the pig goes and sweeps up everything. The pig is doing its job. It's the best scavenger which I know that God has produced. The pig is the most shameless animal on the face of the earth. It's the only animal which invites its friends to have sex with its mate. It's the only animal. It enjoys seeing its mate having sex with a friend. And today, if you analyze in the Western countries, you have got dance parties. And after the dance parties, you are stopping your wife. You sleep with my wife, I sleep with your wife. So you're saying that if he is pig, he will behave like pig. There are several reasons why Islam has prohibited you to eat the flesh of swine. Similarly, even the Bible prohibits the consumption of the flesh of swine. It's mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 11, verse number 7 and 8, that the flesh of swine, the swine, though it has got hoof, it has got cloven hoof, but it chews the cud. It is unclean for you. The flesh you shall not eat, and its carcass you shall not touch. A similar message is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 14, verse number 8, that the flesh of the swine you shall not eat, and its carcass thou shalt not touch. Again, the Bible prohibits the consumption of pork in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 65, verse number 2 to 5. And the last is any food on which any name besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been invoked. If it will invoke any name besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are doing shirk. This is forbidden in Islam. This is also forbidden in the Bible. In the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse number 29, that you shall not have the meat which has been given to the idols, or meat which has been strangled. So in Maida chapter number 5, verse number 3, as I mentioned, says, حُرُمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَرَحْمِ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُمِلَّا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. That problem for you for food are dead meat, blood, flesh of swine, and any food on which any name besides Allah has been invoked. And the verse continues, anything which has been killed by strangulation, by a violent blow, by a headlong fall, or that which has been brought to death, or that which has been eaten by the animals, that which is offered to stone altars, that meat which has been blasphemed, all these things have been prohibited in the Quran. Any meat which has been killed by strangulation, like twisting of the neck, like that of a chicken, is prohibited in Islam. It's again mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse number 29, that you aren't allowed to have meat that has been strangled to death. Again, you aren't allowed to have meat of the animals which has been killed by a violent blow or by a headlong fall, or that which has been partly eaten by an animal unless it's sacrificed in due form. The reason for the prohibition of these things is the same as the reason for the prohibition of eating of dead meat. The Quran says that even eating the meat of the animals which have been given on stone altars is prohibited. This is again mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter number 15, verse number 29. There's a special reference made to meat which has been offered on stone altars. If you broadly look at it, it's the same as food on which any name besides Allah has been invoked. But here a special reference is made because the first one, food on which any name besides Allah has been invoked, is normally when you prep in your house and invoke any name besides Allah. And the one which you put on the stone altar is a ritual by the community. A special reference has been made. This was very common in the pagans. Previously they used to do that. They used to give animals on the stone altar to the deities. And the last category is meat which has been raffled. Previously the Arabs used to raffle with arrows. So gambling and raffling of meat has been prohibited in Islam. The other food which is strictly prohibited is intoxicants. The prohibition of intoxicants in the Quran came in stages. The first verse of the Quran to be revealed regarding intoxicants was from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 219, which says, When they ask thee concerning wine and gambling, tell them, in it is great harm and less profit. The harm is greater than the profit. Later on, the next verse was revealed of Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 43, which says that approach not your prayers with your mind befogged. Means when you are intoxicated, don't approach prayers. Previous guidance was that in intoxicants there is no harm and less profit. The next verse later on was revealed saying that while praying, do not be intoxicated. And afterwards came the final prohibition in Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 90, which says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, innama al-khamru wal-maisru, most certainly intoxicants and gambling, were anzabu al-islamu, dedication of stones, evaluation of arrows, wisdom min amali shaitan, fashtanibu lallakum tuflihun, that these are abomination of Satan's handiwork. Abstain from such abomination that you may prosper. After this verse was revealed, there was a total prohibition. And the next verse, verse number 91 of Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 91 says that the Satan excites enmity and hatred amongst yourselves by the use of intoxicants and gambling. And he takes you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from prayer. After this verse was revealed, barrels of intoxicants and alcohol were entering the streets of Medina, never to be filled again. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said that anything which intoxicates you in large quantity is prohibited even in small quantity. There is no excuse for you for a thought. And according to a hadith, which was narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet said that God's curse is on those people who deal with alcohol, the person who distills it, the person for whom it is distilled, the person who drinks it, the person who transports it, the person for whom it is brought, the person who sells it, the person who makes money out of the sale, the person who serves it, the person who buys it, and the person for whom it is bought. All these people will be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alcohol comes from the Arabic word al-ghul, which means ghost or an evil spirit. It was first distilled in the year 800 CE by an Arab, Jabir ibn Hayyan, known to the West by the name of Jabir. And he gives this name, Al-Ghul, alcohol derived from Al-Ghul, meaning an evil spirit. The same alcohol is also prohibited in the Bible, in chapter number 15, verse number 18. Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, that do not get drunk with wine. There are several reasons why alcohol has been prohibited. You can give a talk only on that. Out of the main disease which you acquire by consuming alcohol is the cirrhosis of liver. You can also have cancer of the esophagus, cancer of the head and neck, cancer of the bowels, you can have esophagitis, you can have hepatitis, pancreatitis, you can have even cardiovascular disease, you can have heart attack, angina, you can have stroke, you can have paralysis, you can have cerebral atrophy, you can have cortical atrophy, you can have peripheral neuropathy. There are several diseases. You can have Wernicke chronic syndrome, you can have several diseases and several deficiencies, like also as beriberi. You can have endocrine disorders such as lymphedema, also as hypothyroidism. You can have hematological disorders. You can have thrombocytopenia. It also interferes with common drugs such as flagyl, such as metronidazole. And it reduces your immunity to fight with the disease. the time to get chest infection, lung emphysema, lung abscess, every disease. It can also cause skin disease such as eczema and alopecia. And it is more harmful to the woman than the man. And if a woman takes alcohol, she has more chances of having cirrhosis of liver than the man. And if a woman is pregnant, if she has alcohol, the baby has a high chance of having the fetal syndrome, fetal alcohol syndrome. There are various reasons, medical reasons, and harmful effects of alcohol. We can only give a talk on why alcohol has been prohibited. But today, the medical doctors, they say that alcohol is a disease. They're trying to support the alcoholic. That alcohol is a disease. If alcohol is a disease, it's the only disease which is sold in bottles. It's the only disease which is advertised in the newspapers, in the magazines, on television, on radios. It's the only disease which has got an official outlet by the government. It's the only disease which brings the revenue for the government. It's the only disease which has got no viral or germ cause. It's the only disease which brings violent death on the highway. It's the only disease which destroys family and increases strength. It's not a disease. The answer is given for Jeremiah chapter number 5, verse number 90. Wisdom in Amal is Shaitan. It's a handiwork. It's an abomination of Satan handiwork. Alhamdulillah, the Saudi government has prohibited this. So these things do not apply to the government of this country, but it applies to most of the other countries. Since Alhamdulillah, they follow the guidance of the Quran in Surah Maida, chapter 5, verse 90, that alcohol is prohibited. All these reasons of alcohol is not a disease, it is not applicable to this country, but it's applicable to most of the other countries. I'd like to end my talk by quoting a verse from the Quran from Surah Fussilat, chapter number 41, verse number 33, which says, فَنُورِهِمْ آيَاتِينَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ أَوْ لَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ لَكُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ. That soon we shall show them our signs in the furthest regions of the horizon and in their souls until it is clear to them that this is the truth. This is a broad outline which I have given. Just a broad outline of the medical signs and the dietary laws. As a general rule, the Quran says that whatever is good for you, you can have the things which is lawful and good for you. It's mentioned in Surah Baqarah chapter number 2, verse number 168, in Surah Maida chapter number 5, verse number 4, in Surah Maida chapter number 5, verse number 88, that you can have the food which is lawful and good for you, which is tayyab for you. So if you are suffering from diabetes, sugar is not good for you, but it may be good for a person who's not suffering from diabetes. Similarly, if you're suffering from hypertension, salt is not good for you, but it may be good for the other person who's not suffering from hypertension. So as a broad outline, few foods have been encouraged, few have been prohibited. All the other are permissible. Among the permissible things, which is good for you, you can have. وَآخْرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.